AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota radio hour. And we got open phone lines. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. So give us a call with anything on your mind, whatever you want to talk about, because me and Brett will be here the next hour spewing our bleeding hearts here from the true blue state of Minnesota.
Spewing, yes.
And before we started the show, we were all having a little conversation about our election night coverage here on AM 950. So we got a lot of big plans for election night. Matt will be starting at 7 p.m. and going till 9, and then me, Brett, and Eric will be capping off the rest of the night. We'll go as long as it takes to report all the results, and we're figuring out our game plan, but it should be great coverage. It'll be a lot of fun to do, and the radio really lacks election night coverage, which I found out during the primary. It was they were done by 9, 10 o'clock, and almost every single station had no coverage at all and went to just national and world news afterwards.
Even if you look at the TV coverage during general elections, if I remember back to 2016, even the local stations pretty much only do brief cut-ins, and then they just stick with the national stuff. So that's why you got to listen to AM 950. We got local coverage. We're going to be completely covering the state house races. You, myself, Eric are going to be doing a little research into which ones we're going to be researching and keeping a close eye on. So, yeah, tune in AM 950.
Yeah, so I think this will be the best stop for our listeners on election night because we got some really informed politicos that listen to this station. So this is where you'll be able to get your fix on election night and really get the good coverage and see this blue wave happen live, with all the developments being reported by me, Brett, Eric, Matt McNeil, and some special guests that we'll announce. When will we announce them? As they occur or on election night?
Yeah, probably as they
surprises
get confirmed.
Surprises or?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like for sure we got Stein and we got Schechter confirmed for Matt's show. I know when we're hosting, we have a couple Indivisible groups that are going to be on. We might get a double dose of someone else. Maybe we might get Stein on there twice, but we're still working out the details there as well as some other special guests. So yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Yeah. And I just sent out some, emails to some people. So, stay tuned for more action on election night. Well, on Thursday, I talked about Trump referring to himself as a nationalist nowadays. And, I read a list of the 14 characteristics of fascism, and they really are spot on with what's going on with Trump. But I didn't call him a flat-out fascist. And some of the listeners called in and thought I was being a little too easy on Trump. But over the weekend, we've had a development in the world, and I am glad that I kept the tone that I did, because Brazil has elected a flat-out actual fascist. So the distinction and the reason why I was careful with how I was, what I was calling Trump, is I didn't want to water down the word. Sure, he has tendencies of fascists, but I wouldn't say that we're in 1930s Germany yet here in America. But Brazil elected far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro in its presidential runoff on Sunday, breaking a nearly two-decade-old tradition of almost exclusively electing leftist presidents. Bolsonaro is a Congress member and ex-military officer. He started off his campaign as a fringe candidate from a fringe party who is mostly known for his streak of racist, misogynistic, and anti-LGBT remarks, and for his professed fondness of the country's brutal military dictatorship of the past. But his promises to restore security amid violent crime and stamp out the country's rampant political corruption won him support among voters looking for a change. Many in Brazil have grown frustrated with the status quo due to the slew of political and economic crises that have gripped Brazil in recent years. Brazil is reeling from a massive corruption scandal. It comes at a time when Brazil's unemployment rate is in double digits and its fragile economy is gradually picking up steam. And according to opinion polls, voters in Latin American countries are looking to elect an experienced and competent president to change things for the better. Bolsonaro, who is seen as a more market-friendly candidate despite previously admitting ignorance over a range of economic issues, has thrived by claiming to be a clean-living lawmaker determined to drain the political swamp. Sound familiar?
That whole scenario you just read sounds familiar, of basically saying that people are looking for a change and they're frustrated.
Yeah, and drain the swamp. He's literally using Trumpian terms. And he's been referred to as the Trump of the tropics. But this guy is further than Trump. This is an accelerationist to fascism. Trump might be planting the seeds in the world, but this is the full-grown tree here. And Brazil has a short history of democracy. Since 1985, a civilian government was restored after a 21-year-long military regime established after the 1964 coup d'etat. Democracy has been around for a little over 30 years in its young existence in Brazil. But Bolsonaro's victory is something bigger than fascism returning to Brazil. It's a shattering blow that has broken the post-World War II order, and it gives us the chance of entering into an age of chaos and strife. The post-World War II system was set up by the United States, Britain, France to promote globalization and one set of trade rules that we've really functioned over the world over the past 70, 80 years, and that's starting to fall apart with the turmoil of the past 3 years and Donald Trump kind of marking that start of the timeline. But with Bolsonaro, he's an avowed pre-World War II type of man internationally, and it could be seen by some as the nail in the coffin for the post-World War II system. Now, to compare this situation in Brazil to Nazi Germany, they are different. There's different scapegoats. There's a different political reality, and some of it's even scarier. So consider the Nazis didn't have a lock on the Amazon rainforest in the middle of a full-blown climate crisis. And also at the time when the Nazis were around, the left internationally was organized, where right now you don't see that same solidarity throughout the world. But that climate reality is very scary with the rainforest, and he has repeatedly stated that he is opening the rainforest up to private business and entrepreneurship. So I'm sorry to be so bleak today, but this is it's a scary situation. It needs to be addressed. I don't know where it's going to lead, but it's staggering to find out these things going on down there. And Brazil is a very large and important country in the world. But some of his stances on issues are he supports wider gun ownership, more lethal police actions, the opening of the Amazon to agribusiness, like I said, and fewer rights for indigenous communities in Brazil. He's also been condemned for misogyny, homophobia, and racism. On human rights, he's been quoted as saying, "I am in favor of torture. You know that, and the people are in favor as well." And he said, "Brazilian prisons are a wonderful place. They are places for people to pay for their sins, not live the life in a something spa. Those who rape, kidnap, and kill are going to go there to suffer, not attend a holiday camp." He said about a Brazilian congresswoman, "I wouldn't rape you because you don't deserve it."
I think in terms of the sense that, yeah, she's not good looking enough is what he was saying.
Yes, yes, that was what he's implying. And he's also said, "I've got 5 kids, but on the 5th, I had a moment of weakness, and it came out a woman." This guy is unbelievable. It's scary that he is a world leader in such a new democracy, because they're very susceptible to being turned into authoritarian dictatorship. Now, it should be noted that he did win pretty substantially, but it was about 59 to 40?
I think I saw it was even closer than that. I think that was what the polling was showing, but it turned out being like 55-45, which is still scary that 55% of people in that country would vote for this guy.
Something stark about the results, too, is that he won 97% of the richest cities, and his opponent won in 98% of the poorest cities. So just complete contrast and starkness in this. And something that we could see develop immediately is a purging of minorities and of political opponents. He told crowds that once elected, he would carry out the biggest purge in Brazilian's history. We will sweep these red bandits off the map. They will be banished from our fatherland. Either they leave or they go to jail. Haddad, who was his opponent, and Lula will rot in prison. And that was the former president of Brazil.
He literally used the term fatherland. I mean, yeah. Is there be any more direct link to 1930s Germany?
And this is why I was very careful on Thursday. I didn't know this was going to... Well, I knew this was a possibility, but I just wanted to make the distinction that Trump isn't quite at that level yet. He fosters the seeds for ideas like this, and by referring to himself as a nationalist, it has tipped the hat to white nationalist groups in America and around the world who see Trump as their guy. But he's not calling for policies like this that have a real possibility of being enacted and enacted soon. But like I said, he's been referred to as the Trump of the tropics, and Donald Trump has extended his congratulations on winning the election. Trump tweeted yesterday, had a very good conversation with the newly elected president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, who won his race by a substantial margin. We agree that Brazil and the United States will work closely together on trade, military, and everything else. Excellent call. Wished him well. Congratulations. And this has been seen around the world to differing degrees of enthusiasm. Nationalist politicians from around the world have came out in support for this guy, but some haven't. Some are scared off by him. If you remember, during France's elections, Marine Le Pen, who was compared, or was called the Trump of France, she had previously refused to endorse him because she found him extreme and unpleasant. But on Monday, she blamed the left and wished the new president well. But so there is some skepticism in the right on how in are they with this guy. But it's a very scary development. I've got a friend, a really close friend that lives in Brazil, and he's terrified. So it's not good news. I'm sorry to start the show on such a downer, but I think it's important that we be aware of what's going on down there and just monitor the situation and stay informed because of this new reality that we live in, that these extreme ideologies are applicable again, that people, they can gain mainstream traction. And it's something that we need to constantly look out for in America and across the world. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I've got a story on Twitter's rival, Gab, which has been shut down. Gab is a free speech Twitter that goes to the extreme, but the synagogue shooter expressed his anti-Semitism and his plan for action on the site, and it has been shut down. When we return on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Virgil, you had a couple shout-outs you wanted to do?
Yeah, super quick. Right before our first show, me, Matt, and Felix went on AM 950 KTNF Minnesota with Hunter Hawes, and that ruled. That's the only radio station in the country not owned by Clear Channel. And we had a great time, so I recommend checking that out.
You're listening to Hunter Hawes
on AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Warning. Last year, over 40,000 Americans died in car-related accidents. Not a pleasant thought, is it? In fact, as thoughts go, it's downright depressing. Well, that's where we can help cheer you up. We're StandUpRecords.com, and we offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, downloads, and merchandise from the best comedians on Earth. Artists like Mark Maron, Maria Bamford, Eddie Pepitone, and Doug Stanhope. Available at fine record stores, Amazon.com, and the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com. Come on, listen to us while you're driving. Live dangerously.
I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, and my vote is for hope, not hate. The right to vote gives us the power to hold our elected leaders accountable, to remove those who don't represent our values and replace them with leaders who will fight for our vision for the future. Join the conversation on how we all can rock the vote. Tune in this Saturday at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And for questions you may have on voting, go to rockthevote.org.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. We got open phone lines. Our phone number is 952-946-6205, and you can call and talk about whatever you want. And I got a story on Gab, the free speech Twitter, but I'll get to that in a second. I want to start actually with a different story. Brett, did you hear about Kanye West designing shirts for a group called Blexit?
Oh, I don't follow anything with Kanye.
So he designed.
I don't want to know where this is going.
The group was started by conservative activist Candace Owens. I've talked about her a few times. She works for Turning Point USA, which is a group about conservatives being censored on college campuses. But she wants to free black voters from the decades-long grip of the Democratic Party and is urging them to support a new movement called Blexit. Owens told Fox News, giving the backstory behind the campaign she launched over the weekend, that Blexit is a black exit from the Democratic Party. It's a black exit from permanent victimhood, the black exit from the false idea that we are somehow separate from the rest of America. And it made headlines because Kanye West helped her design the Blexit logo. She's quoted as saying, Kanye saw my original design and said, I can do better. Well, that's very Kanye of him. Owens recalled it certainly was. He redesigned the logo with vibrant colors inspired by his trip to Uganda. Now, Brett, Google the Blexit shirts so you can see these designs and then let me know when you see them because they're pretty hideous. But despite the recent attention, Owens told Fox News the concept of Blexit was developed over time. As for the name, she recalled, it was formed almost by accident. She was at the Conservative Political Action Conference in February 2017, and a radio interview had gone long, coinciding with President Trump's speech at the event, and that's how she came up with the idea. Well, Candace Owens became a conservative in 2017, but the name of this group is totally stolen from an actual good group here in Minnesota. The organization BlexitMN.org is a grassroots nonprofit organization of community members who are fed up with the inequality in our state and country. They gather biweekly to strategize ways to make an impact on the private and public sectors of our economy by investing in the Black community and divesting from systems that have benefited from our pain. They are made up of participants who come to meetings, volunteers who offer support, resources, and labor, members who contribute financially each month and spread the word about their work, and leaders who help steer their community towards its goals. The group tackles issues like fighting predatory lending in Minneapolis and gentrification as a systemic and predictable and preventable problem. They also have a Black candidate directory on their website, which include Hennepin County Commissioner, District 4, Angela Conley, Minnesota School Board, Kimberly Caperny, and Robbinsdale City Council, Ward 4, Jay Rethel. So this whole Blexit is stolen from a Minnesota group. Now, the connections haven't been made because I'm not sure if the the Minnesota group is aware that their name is being used in this manner, but it'll be interesting because this group has been around for 3 years, much longer than Candace Owens has even been a conservative. So when I saw those hideous shirts, and did you get to get a look at them?
Yeah, I think someone has an old Kid Picks program from when they were a kid.
Totally. Yeah, I can do better. Good job, Kanye.
Only concern I have is I don't know if you want to take on Blexit if they got Kanye West's funding. I mean,
yeah, well,
that'd be a tough legal battle.
I know. Well, it's unfortunate that they stole the name from a group that has totally different aspirations. So when I saw that story, I recognized the name because I was aware of this organization from a few years ago, and they're still going. So I checked up on them. So it'll be interesting. I'll have to see if they're aware of this. But no good, no good, Kanye. Ugh. Those shirts are hideous. They're pastel-colored Kid Picks designs. For how much money this guy makes off being a supposed fashion designer,
It's either that or he just picked out a bunch of images from clip art and tried to make it say Blexit.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I thought they'd be a little better, but no. All right. Then on to Gab. So Gab is a site pretty much exactly like Twitter for people who have been kicked off Twitter for hate speech. And of course, what they describe themselves as a beacon of free speech and expression. They have nearly 800,000 users, but they faced criticism in the past for providing an outlet for far-right figureheads and conspiracy theorists banned from other social media networks. The service says it has a zero tolerance for terrorism and violence. It has, however, acknowledged that a verified account whose details match those of the alleged Tree of Life synagogue shooter has been active on its service. Before he went to the synagogue and shot it up, he posted on Gab, "Screw your optics, I'm going in." And that was just shortly before the attack in Pittsburgh. So since this has occurred, Gab has been shut down by not only PayPal, but Stripe, Medium, a blogging platform, Samsung-owned Joyent, which provides web hosting services, as well as GoDaddy. So, Brett, type in gab.com and see if their website is active right now.
Everyone's going to wonder what our search history is here, but as... Gab has spent the past 48 hours probably working with the DOJ and the FBI to bring justice.
So they are shut down.
Yes.
So another one of these following in the footsteps of Alex Jones and being booted off of, well, really doing what they champion, letting the free market run its course and decide what.
Here's an interesting thought. Are they eventually going to make their own internet service providers that will allow them to have these platforms?
Yeah, I don't know.
You have to kind of wonder, yeah.
I mean, they have the dark web, but that's not accessible.
Yeah, you
got to
be pretty smart to use the dark web.
Yeah,
well, smart, I don't know if that's the right word to put it, but you have to be tech savvy to know how to use that.
Yeah, so that
some right wingers are not tech
close
savvy.
Close the door on a lot of these followers. But Apple and Google have both banned Gab from their stores, and Microsoft stopped hosting the platform back in September. But according to Gab, they have plenty of options, resources, and support. After the latest setback, it is working around the clock to get back online. But it's a good thing to have Gab down for a while, because it's really become the platform for the extremists, the people that cannot keep an account on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. They move to Gab.
I just say it's their safe space just to kind of troll them, because they felt too offended on Twitter and Facebook. They need to go to their own safe space and go to Gab.
Yeah. Gab's got, like, Alex Jones, the founder of the Daily Stormer, Andrew Anglin, and then Richard Spencer. Those are three of the biggest followed Gabbers. And then their logo is a frog, like Pepe the Frog. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll get David from New Hope's call. But we'll be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Phone number 952-946-6205. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity and inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Open Book in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to humans. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look for the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forwards. It spells the same.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Hey, Ole, how's that bumper crop of soybeans working out?
Oh, cripes, not well, Sven. If only I had a patch of reefer to get by on.
Well, did you catch that Grassroots Party commercial quoting from our state constitution? Get this. Any person may sell or peddle the products of the farm or garden occupied and cultivated by him without obtaining a license therefor.
Oh, what does that mean?
Means you really should have planted some cannabis. You see, under the Controlled Substances Law, what's actually illegal is being in possession without a license. But if you're selling what you've cultivated, the Constitution says you don't need any license.
Does the governor know about this?
He sure will. If we vote Chris Wright and Duda Schwarzbacher in the governor's race, they've got Noah Johnson for attorney general, too.
Boy, cannabis makes you cough, but politics makes you gag. This year, I'm going to vote Wright for governor.
Paid for by the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 36. Wednesday sunny with a high near 51. Thursday sunny with a high near 53. And Friday partly cloudy with a high around 47.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only at the Maple Grove Community Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Maple Grove Community Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. And we're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. And in fact, we'll get going on the phones right now. Let's go to David in New Hope. David?
Hello. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment on an article on the editorial page in today's paper written by Eric Paulson.
Candidate
for third district's congressman. And he says, what a wonderful person he is, that the Republican tax cuts will save the average taxpayer in the third district $5,000. I think that the tax cuts will probably save the average taxpayer about $50. I mean, seriously, how many people are making so much money that they're paying more than $5,000 in taxes now, even if the tax cut 100% of their taxes?
Yeah.
And chances are the tax cut will actually cut maybe 10% of their taxes, in which case I ask how many people in the third district are paying $50,000 for their taxes, and certainly not the average person. So there he goes again. He's lying through his teeth. And I can't imagine why anybody would want to vote for him, because, I mean, how can you trust a guy who lies like that?
And the other thing he's leaving out, too, is that the middle class tax cuts are temporary. But the for the one percenters and those really high incomes, those are permanent tax cuts. So they leave that part out, too. So even if you did get a decent tax break, that's temporary. And that goes away in a couple years. But thank you for the call, David. We'll go to the other David in Shakopee. You want to talk about Gab?
Yeah. Hey, Hunter. I just want to say that David made a really good point. but Gab and all these safe spaces, as you guys put it,
yeah,
we should invade them. We should go there. We should create accounts. And we should start posting our messages on every single one of their websites. We should take them over.
Well,
let's let the free market decide. There'll be so many of us that the space will have to cater to us instead of them. And when they move on to the next space, then we invade that one too.
The danger in that, though, is this is where the those militia types and the school shooters, this is where they gather. So stirring the pot with them, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Look, we can't let them just percolate.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. When we let them percolate in their little echo chamber, that's when they become radicalized. They have to hear messages that aren't full of hate.
Yeah. Oh, I like your idea. So if Gab gets back up and running, David would like us to start making some Gab accounts and gab with some of these.
We need a troll farm here, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Great meme war of 2018 going down on Gab.
Better a meme war than a shooting war.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the call, David. And in a minute, we'll talk with we'll take Randy from Coon Rapids' call. Randy, what do you got for us today?
Well, I was just kind of wondering, we're a week away from the elections, and I was wondering, are you guys getting nervous at all with the fact that it seems like one of the number one concerns for most voters this election is health care, and we're currently under Obamacare, where you could keep your plan if you want, liked your plan, you could keep your doctor if you liked your doctor. And by the way, it was going to get cheaper. And none of those things ever happened. A lot of people didn't get to keep their doctors. and health care got expensive. I've got a brother that he doesn't even have health insurance because he can't afford it, can't find a plan that will fit his needs. Now, I know the Republicans haven't done a great job yet either, but we're currently under Obamacare, are we not?
What's left of it, which isn't much.
Well, isn't the only thing they changed? They got rid of the one nasty thing on there about if you didn't have health care, we were going to charge you money, which was a bad thing. I think that was bad on the Democrats' part. We got that changed. And one of the good things that was on the Democrat part was the pre-existing conditions, which I think is kind of funny because every commercial I see, it always talks about, oh, yeah, the Republicans don't like the if you've already got issues. Most of the Republicans love that plan. They love that idea that the Democrats came up with that if you have pre-existing conditions, you should still be covered under insurance.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Randy. And as to the question, am I nervous about the election because of health care? No, because the Democratic Party is the only one providing any sort of solutions for health care, where the Republicans are vague and attacking, but also present no sort of plan forward. With Tim Walz running for governor, his plan is open up a Minnesota Care buy-in option. That will solve a lot of these problems. And a lot of Democrats are for the pathway to single-payer health care, which is very popular with Democrats and Republicans now. I've got somewhere in this magazine that I can't remember the percentage. Do you know the percentage of Republicans that are for single-payer health care now? It's gone up.
It's more than you would think, but while you find that, I'll just bring up, too, before the Affordable Care Act, insurance rates were still going up. In fact, there was a previous show I was hosting where I was going to spend a whole segment on it, but we got sidetracked with another thing, so maybe I'll bring that up in the coming days. But health insurance has been going up all the time since, like, the 1990s, so it's not like just magically happened during Obamacare. But, yeah, going back to your percentage, most people will probably say it's, like, 5 or 10%, but it's higher than that, isn't it?
70% of Americans 70. Support Medicare for all, including 52% of Republicans. There we go. What I'm nervous about, though, is there's a lot of negative ads in this campaign, and they can have an effect. I mean, they color your perception, and they're getting away with a very loose fact guidelines that...
Oh, you think?
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's unbelievable, and... I got an article here that says political ad spending tops $71 million in Minnesota. So in case you're wondering, yes, you're seeing a whole lot of political ads. Candidates and interest groups have bought space for more than 330,000 TV and radio ads as of October 9th, still a month before the election. On network and cable television, the ad buys account for nearly 2,600 hours of ad time. That's enough to cover 107 full days of nothing but political commercials. And it's pretty unheard of compared to past election cycles. And this finds that a recent review of political ads on the 10 p.m. news at the four main Twin City stations, more than half of these ads were negative. So, I mean, I'm concerned on the effects that these ads have, because I've written off political commercials and attack ads in the past, only to realize that they do have a tremendous effect on people. They are able to influence people because it gets in your head, and unless you're out there, every person is going to do their own research, and you can't count on everyone to be totally informed on everything. So these ads do color their perception. And, in fact, PolitiFact had an article yesterday that, no, Dean Phillips was not involved in a sexual harassment case at one of his companies. A television ad in Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District attempts to tie Democratic candidate Dean Phillips to a congressman accused of domestic abuse. That'd be Keith Ellison. Phillips' opponent, Republican Eric Paulson, aired the ad that starts off by saying, sleazy Keith Ellison and shady Dean Phillips both caught up in another sexual harassment scandal, making it appear as if the two men are involved in the same scandal. But the focus here is the claim that Phillips is charged with ignoring sexual harassment and discrimination at his companies, as the ad narrator says. Phillips is airing a rebuttal ad calling Paulson's attack false. So PolitiFact wanted to sort out the facts. We found that Phillips is not connected to Ellison at all, obviously. The ad makes a suggestion that Phillips has been sued over and over and was charged with ignoring sexual harassment at his companies. They found no evidence that supports either of those claims. And the main tenet of this was the Allina Health lawsuit. The Paulson campaign points to a February 2007 Star Tribune article that describes a lawsuit brought against Allina Health by seven nurses who said they were sexually harassed by a doctor at one of the health group's clinics. The case was settled out of court. The news account quotes a letter that was sent by another doctor to the Allina board member. The doctor vouched for a lawsuit saying the harassment was a serious problem at the clinic and is being covered up by the Allina administration. So Phillips served on the board of directors from 05 to 11, and while the board advises Allina, it doesn't run the company, as the ad implies. There is no evidence the note was actually sent to Dean Phillips at all, and his campaign says he has no memory of ever receiving such a letter or having any board discussions about the harassment case. So these are two separate things going on. Like, just because this incident happened at a company, in no way is Dean Phillips tied to it. But a tremendous amount of money and ads are going out trying to make this connection. And it's wrong. The PolitiFact says Paulson's ad misleads viewers by connecting Phillips to a domestic abuse case he was not involved in and implies some sort of formal action was taken against Phillips, charged with ignoring, at a company he runs, neither which are true. So, I'm nervous about these ads.
Not to say, too, that these CEOs have also, some of these members of the board, I should say, have called out Eric Paulson. Even Republican Arnie Carlson has called out that ad as being very misleading. Well, actually, an outright lie, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people pick up on that.
And there's only so much of this you can do. Like, look, at that took a couple minutes of the show to refute this. It's not true. But there's so many of these ads out there, you can't possibly go and undertake each one. And the premises of these are always so weak and connected. But these words will get in voters' heads, and it can have an impact on it. I don't know what the solution is.
The only solution would be, and I don't know how you do this, but you almost need like a 3 or 4 word slogan to combat these ads. And obviously, in the explanation you just gave,
yeah,
there, you can't boil
point.
It down into 3 or 4 words. It takes some nuance to explain the accuracy of it, or lack thereof.
You need to get on the messaging for the
Democrats. I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea.
That was a good answer, though. A 3 or 4 word solution.
But how do you do that, though? Because some of these you can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is all I see when I watch TV. It's just every ad. It's a political ad. It's just one after another.
Even an eye who doesn't have cable, they even show up on Hulu and YouTube.
Yeah.
You can't get away with it even if you cut away your cords.
Yeah, that's a good point. I see them all the time on YouTube. A lot of Doug Wardlow ads on YouTube. A lot of Jeff Johnson. I see a couple Tina Smith, a couple Tim Walsh.
Oh, man, I have to bring this up because I was watching the Packers-Rams game on my phone on the NFL app, and literally, I'm not even exaggerating, every other ad was for Karen Housley with that stupid ad of Phil Housley shooting the puck,
the puck
and missing the net.
The puck commercial.
I'm not exaggerating. It was literally every other ad on the NFL app as
wow.
I was watching that game.
Wow. Ugh. I don't know what we do. Well, here, we'll take a break, and then we'll get to your calls, and we'll talk about the Attorney General race here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Virgil, you had a couple shout-outs you wanted to do?
Yeah, super quick. Right before our first show, me, Matt, and Felix went on AM 950 KTNF Minnesota with Hunter Hawes, and that ruled. That's the only radio station in the country not owned by Clear Channel, and we had a great time, so I recommend checking that out.
You're listening to Hunter Hawes
on AM 950, the
Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Dave Hutch, DFL-endorsed candidate for Hennepin County Sheriff. I've been a police officer for 15 years, and I'm running for sheriff because I believe our elected sheriff should have a vision of public safety that includes everyone, no matter where they're from or what they look like. I believe in transparency, responsiveness, and open communication. As sheriff, I will rethink how the sheriff's office interacts with ICE. I'll require crisis intervention and de-escalation training for all Hennepin County deputies. I'll make it a priority to protect everyone of Hennepin County, including our immigrant communities and our native community. I will provide mentally ill individuals with treatment and services needed to stay out of jail. I will never send Hennepin County deputies to break up protests at places like Standing Rock. And I will never stop working to improve the relationships between the police and the communities we serve. Let's start working together for a safe and healthy Hennepin County. I'm Dave Hutch, and I'm asking for your vote for Hennepin County Sheriff. Paid and prepared by Hutch for Sheriff Volunteer Committee.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great. More time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national Native news with reporters all around the country. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
Hi. This is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend on AM 950. We feature Kevin Odegaard, longtime Minneapolis musician, who's got a great new record out called Artifacts. Kevin was also the guy that played guitar on Bob Dylan's Tangled Up in Blue on Above the Tracks. We also have Gary Lopak, his producer. We're going to be playing some tracks off the record, talking Minneapolis history, Bob Dylan, and more. Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. And we got a couple minutes left. We'll still take your phone calls at 952-946-6205. But right here, I've got a copy of Southside Pride. I'm holding it up to the camera for the live streaming audience. And they endorse Keith Ellison. And I think they give a nice little summary of the race. Keith Ellison stands with Bernie Sanders, ranked most liberal in the Minnesota delegation to Congress by GovTrack. Then it's a quote, "I am working to advance gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender equality in Congress by ending existing discrimination written in federal laws, giving law enforcement tools to pursue perpetrators of hate crimes, and extending marriage rights and responsibilities to same-sex couples and families. I am running for Attorney General because I am ready to fight every day for you to reduce health care costs and make our economy more fair and defend equal rights for all." Doug Wardlow stands with Donald Trump, wanting to pass right-to-work constitutional amendment to eliminate union clothes shops in his one term in Minnesota's state legislature, worked for the Alliance Defending Freedom, a Christian nonprofit known for representing Masterpiece Cake Shop and a baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. Wardlow is running to more vigorously prosecute welfare fraud and make sure state agencies aren't overstepping the bounds by overregulating industry. So that's Southside Pride's endorsement of Keith Ellison over Doug Wardlow. And I know that some of these municipal races can be confusing who to vote for, but I live in Carver County. I live in Chaska. And a couple of the candidates on the local ballot showed their colors yesterday at a candidate meet and greet with Attorney General candidate Doug Wardlow at the Stock and Barrel Gun Club, of all places. But I just wanted to put these...
What's that name again?
Stock and Barrel Gun Club.
Is there any more of a Republican place than that? Yikes.
So Carver County Sheriff candidate Jason Camerood was with Doug Wardlow, along with City Council candidate Julia Coleman, who is Norm Coleman's wife. Not Norm Coleman's, Norm Coleman's son's wife, Jacob Coleman. And then City Council candidate Dan Champion, that's a nice name. And then mayoral candidate Elise Ryan. So do you ever have that trouble on these local elections, not knowing where the people stand, and then when you try and look up information, it's all just vague and you can't really tell who they are?
Yeah, I run into that a lot on some of these local elections. Yeah, where you, I mean, a lot of media outlets put out nice little pieces of information that the candidates write, but yeah, sometimes it is very generic, or I'm for good roads and a good police force and a strong city, and that's all they say.
And they don't want to give up anything. But when you appear with Doug Wardlow at the Stock and Barrel Gun Club, you're showing your colors. So the main person I wanted to highlight was Carver County Sheriff candidate Jason Camerood, because I heard he came and spoke at my Indivisible group, and his opponent, Jessica Hager, also came and spoke. And Jason had a lot of red flags when he was speaking with us. I know he was very against police body cameras and went on a long rant of how bad they are and how dumb they are and how big of a pain it is for law enforcement. And there wasn't anything like, well, we could do this better. It was, we need to get rid of body cameras altogether. I'm like, that's a little weird. And he also had some terrible takes on the opioid epidemic. He was a former drug task force in Carver County. That's really how he got started. So all of his solutions are just increasing the criminal justice system, pursuing tougher penalties on opioid addicts. So Jason Camerood does not have my endorsement for Carver County Sheriff. Jessica Hager does, and I might be speaking to her on Thursday. We're figuring that out. So tune in on Thursday, 4 p.m. for local Minnesota Radio Hour. It'll be me and Eric on Thursday, but today, me and Brett signing off on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.